You better pray. Jesus, God, help Jamie today, God. God, Lord, I pray that these words that are spoken from the truth of your word would come alive in us today. God, I pray, God, if there's a person in this room that feels like thrown in the towel, God, I pray that you give them their strength today. God, you have to be the source of their strength today. Because the strength on their own is not gonna work. We need you today. You and you alone are our strength. Help us today, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hear this. The enemy knows you. He knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. Jesus knows your sin, and he calls you by your name. Maybe you've heard that before. Maybe you need to hear it a couple times, because this is what's unique to you. Your family, it's unique. Situation, you have a circumstance that is unique to you. Your job, it's unique to you. Your family, it's unique to you. There's families all across this room. We do things totally different, right? We have different things that we do. They're not right or wrong. It's just different. You have family traditions. They're different. They're weird, right? Every family tradition, there's some weirdness a part of it, right? We're different people. And the enemy knows that. And so the enemy can get you in your weirdness. He can get you in your situation, in your circumstance. You're tempted at your job differently than I'm tempted at my job. Why? Because the enemy knows how to push your buttons. He does. He knows what to get you with. And so when we're talking about fighting and we're talking about contending, this is not just about making a statement going, I will fight. It's about how are we preparing ourselves for this fight. This is not about getting into a situation and go, now I'm going to fight. It's no, no, no. What preparation have I done before I've ever gotten into this position? That's the hard thing. Because preparation is not fun. Game day, fun. Preparation for game day, not fun. Killers, not fun. Fitness, running, not fun. Game day, awesome. Yeah? Why? Because we don't like preparation. We don't like playing defensive. Listen, when you see a game of any type, pick your sport, whatever your favorite sport is, and you don't see someone guarding the person, basketball, for instance, if I'm not guarding, this is the NBA, by the way. Nobody guards in the NBA. But in the NBA, you know when someone's guarding you. And you know when someone's not guarding you. Right? I mean, this is easy stuff. It's difficult to play defensive. It's difficult to prepare for that moment. I can't just go, I'm going to be a good defender today, and that be enough. I think we have a tendency to go, I'm going to be really good today. I'm not going to speak as much today. I'm going to fight today. And we make this a motto, and it sounds pretty, sounds really good, but how am I prepared myself for those moments? And then when those moments happen, they're an evaluator for how you've really prepared. Yeah? Man, I'm hanging around coworkers. As I'm hanging around coworkers, they start saying things, and all of a sudden I start shouting at the mouth. All of a sudden I start saying all these things. Well, how have you prepared for that situation? Well, here's what happened. They said something the day before. You allowed that to fester in your heart. And now because you've allowed that to fester in your heart, you have bitterness towards them. And then when they said something the next day and bitterness came out, why are you so surprised? You haven't prepared your heart in a way to respond in a godly way. You didn't leave the day before and go, God, I don't want bitterness in my heart. Would you give me a heart for so-and-so? And God, when I'm put in that situation again, would you change my heart? Would you help me not be the tool that I am, God? Listen, here's what you need to start doing. Instead of praying about people, start praying for yourself. Like, don't ever pray, God, would you help my coworkers change their heart? Unless you're going to pray for you to change your heart. Because that's what we like to do. God, I pray that they're a heathen. They're sinners. God, I hate my work. Would you just change their heart? And God's going, you kind of need one too. Yeah? It's so much easier to just pray for someone else. It's so much easier to sit in church, when hear someone say what they say, and look across the room and go, man, that was really good for that guy. Why? Because it's very difficult. And Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesian church, and he's writing it from jail. Let's keep this in mind. Paul is in prison when he's writing Ephesians. I don't know what your letter would look like when you were in prison. Like, what kind of letter are you writing to people when you're in prison? Paul is writing a letter to the churches, all churches, churches for today, churches in Galatia, Ephesians, all of these places, Philippians, all of them. He's writing a letter to them, and this is what he's saying to them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. It's up on the screen because it's not anywhere in your Bible app. It says, now finally, my beloved ones, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Put on the full suit of armor that God wears when he goes into battle, so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you are protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as the belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph, and put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. There is a lot there. There is a lot of different words than we've heard as we've read Ephesians 6. As we've talked about the belt of truth, which is God's word. But listen, as we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, that's what your translation probably said in verse 14. The breastplate of righteousness was put on to protect the vital organs, that specifically being the heart. And so as we talk about the breastplate of righteousness and putting on this, it's because God knows that the way that we flow through life is through the heart. And so he says, you have to put on this breastplate, this steel plate that protects you from something bad happening here. You could get shot in the foot, you're going to recover. You're going to get shot in the shoulder, you'll probably recover. But you get shot in the heart, you're dead. Right? I mean, we don't need, like, lessons on this, right? Like, that's normal, common sense stuff, right? This is what he's saying. And he's talking about our life union with Christ. This is a relationship with Christ. It's not on again and off again. Relationships that we have with people. Stuff when you talk about Jesus. See, we transcend relationships that we have with people into our relationship with Christ. And with Christ, there's no plan B. With people, we make plan Bs. With Christ, there's no on-again, off-again relationship. There's no, like, let's take down the breastplate. I'm going to live how I want, and I'm going to come back and just pray God forgives me. That's what we do. We're unprotected, and we leave our heart exposed. Now my heart is exposed to the schemes and the strategies of the enemy, and I want to know, like, God, I don't understand why I'm getting shot. You're getting shot because you're not protecting your heart. That's why you're getting shot. And it starts, everything I do in my life flows from a life union or a relationship with Christ. When my relationship with Christ is out of whack, at some point my marriage is going to be out of whack. My relationships are, it all points back to my relationship that I have with Christ. So when I say, well, me and Jesus just aren't on good terms right now, I can tell you, you're going to have problems. It's just going to happen. It's like the fastest counseling sessions ever. Like, what's going on in my life? I got problems. Well, how are you and Jesus? We're not real good. Well, there's your problem. $500, please. Man, I wish pastors could charge like others. But anyway. Right? No, I mean right about the relationship thing, not the $500. You're like, really? What I'm wearing shows people what I'm about. That's not just in the natural. Like you're going to Dairy Queen, you get to wear your soccer uniform, you get a dilly bar. It's true. You're 45, why do you have a soccer uniform on? I want a dilly bar. And I'm not going to pay 79 cents for the dilly bar. What does that show me? It's what I'm about. It's no different when you put on God's armor. You're letting the enemy know what you're about when you put on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. See, listen, when you're in a relationship with Christ, you don't get to decide whether you're going to live a righteous life or not. If you're following Jesus, this is the standard. Whether you love the standard or not is of insignificance. This is the demand. This is the call. This is the expectation that God has on us. Well, that's a lot of pressure. You're feeling pressure then. It's okay. But you being on and off again with Christ and going, well, I'm just kind of on the fence about it. No. That's not going to work. In fact, he talks about it in Revelation, hot, cold, lukewarm. That's in the middle. It's nasty. It's disgusting. So much that he uses the word spew. You that are lukewarm, I'll spew you. Why? Because it's disgusting. I want hot tea or cold tea. I don't want the lukewarm stuff. Yeah? He's saying, listen, there's no on again, off again. We were on a break stuff. You can't do that with Jesus. We're unprotected. Winston Churchill says it this way: you will never reach your destination if you stop and throw stones at every dog that barks. Nicole put that up. Someone needs to see that again. Listen, I made the mistake a couple years ago, and this was a mistake. I allowed my kids to get a dog. Now, if you're in this room, you're like, I love animals. I don't know if I can come to this church. Go to another one. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I don't love your dog, but it's nowhere in the Bible. And listen, if all dogs go to heaven, I can guarantee you my two will not. They will not. They're going to doggy Hades. And they are, you'll understand in a second whenever I tell you what kind of dogs they are. We should have built that wall. No, I mean, they're chihuahuas, okay? And they don't just like, they hate Brent too. Like one of them hates Brent. Like Brent is in my yard. The dogs are in the house. They're going nuts. His presence alone, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's, I don't know. I don't know. If he went to Taco Bell too much, I don't know. I don't know. You used to, but not anymore. But I don't know. I don't know. They bark a lot. They nip at your ankles. I mean, I can't say that. I am a soccer player, so. No, I mean, I'm just implying I'm a soccer player. I don't know what you took from that. They bark a lot, okay? I'm not saying all dogs are bad. And it's annoying. And you have friends like that. And you're like that. And the goal of us stopping and hearing every time somebody barks is to distract you from what God has intended for you to do. And you have to just keep going. And sometimes you're going to hear a lot of barking, and you're going to hear a lot of people that are saying what they're saying, and they're saying things about you that aren't even true. But why are we stopping and giving that any attention? And there's sometimes that they're barking that it is true. What they're saying is true. But you can still allow that to distract you or to change you. And so what Winston Churchill is saying is, what is stopping you from continuing this fight? Ephesians 4 says it this way. So Be passionate. Again, passion translation. Don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not even a day. NIV or NLT may say, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Listen, this is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, when I allow the enemy a foothold, why is he putting this into the context of a day? Because when you go to sleep and you allow something to fester in your heart overnight and you can't now sleep, and now all of a sudden you're tossing and you're turning, now you're not getting the sleep that you're required. Rest is very important. You're not getting that rest. He's saying, so at night, this is the most important time. Listen, if you're married in this room, like, this is when the enemy would want you to, like, all of a sudden you're sleeping in this bed, whether you're a queen size, a king size, or whatever it is, but now there's, like, this gap in between your marriage, all because you're allowing whatever was said to get in the middle of your marriage, and you're taking that with you, not fixing it. There's a lot of huffing and puffing going on. There's a lot of emotion that's going on, and you're not fixing it. You getting up the next day without fixing it is affecting your heart. And it may not be that big of a deal. You might be able to get through. But as it builds up, now all of a sudden that gap is getting bigger. Why? Because Ephesians is telling us in chapter 4, like, you better deal with your heart. You better deal with this. You better deal with the emotion, because right now I can't take the breastplate of righteousness off just because I'm married and just because she did what she did. And I can take it off and not be righteous. And now all of a sudden, because I did take that off, I'm exposed. And now there's something that's going on between us that we're not fixing. It's because I've gone unguarded and I've allowed these wounds to be exposed. And now all of a sudden, my heart is being affected. And I'm thinking, well, I ain't just skate by. Listen, when the Bible talks about not despising the day of small beginnings, it also includes the negative. See, we tend to go to the beginning and go, what? Don't despise the day of small beginnings. They're positive. They're awesome. Yeah, but there's small beginnings that happen in your heart when you allow things to happen because you've gone unguarded. And now that small thing is becoming a built upon thing. And now all of a sudden you're so far away and you're doing things that you would have never thought you'd ever do. Why? Because you've allowed something small to go on inside your heart. And now it's huge. Now you can't even pinpoint how it started now. Why? Because we've taken that breastplate off. Proverbs says it this way. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. The NIV says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The NLT says, for it determines the course of your life. So out of my life flows whatever is inside my heart. I would say that that is a pretty valuable thing. Yeah? God made him who had no sin, Corinthians tells us, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of Christ. See, my righteousness is not determined on how good I am. My righteousness is determined on how great God is. You will never get to the place of you being good enough on your own. It just won't work. Here's what we've tried to do. If I could just change my mind, then everything else will happen. I think we've mistaken something. It's not about changing your mind, because now you just change some behaviors. But if you change your heart, now all of a sudden you allow your mind to be changed, and now you move forward. We've done things like, well, that's a really hard sin. The heart is really affected. There's no way someone can recover from that. I've seen people be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ, so I know it can happen. And it wasn't transformed just in their mind. That has to happen, but it can't happen first. If we think that I can just change my mind and now all of a sudden my behaviors are good and all of a sudden I'm going to just keep good habits, it means nothing if I'm not allowing my heart to be changed. It has to be first. My heart has to be changed first. So he says, guard your heart. He continues, verse 24, avoid all perverse talk, Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Proverbs 4. So, why is Solomon telling us, the wisest guy in all of the Bible, why is he telling us to do these things with our heart? First and foremost, because your heart is valuable. You value, what you value is determined in your actions. Every Monday night, I put two trash cans out. A recycling one and not a recycling one. And they're full and they're smelly. You know what I do not do? I do not stay up all night watching that trash. I don't. It's not valuable to me. You value, and what you value, you do guard. You do watch over. So your heart, first and foremost, is valuable. You have to hear that. Because Paul told Timothy, purify himself so that he would be a special instrument, set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. The heart is the essence of who you are. And it is valuable. And I think we take it so nonchalant that we don't think it's valuable. And so we don't guard it. And we think, well, it's okay if something happens. No, guard your heart because it's valuable. What are you allowing by not putting on this breastplate of righteousness to come into your heart? Giving the enemy a foothold into access to your heart. See, when we put it into a picture supernaturally, spiritually, and we start thinking like, wow, that doesn't affect my heart, you're letting your guard down. You're giving the enemy a foothold. We don't want to talk about this, guys. We don't want to talk about it because we're invading our space. Which is why boundaries is so important. That's a whole other topic, though. Listen. If my heart stops beating physically, I die. Agreed? Spiritually, when you allow your heart to be wounded and wounded spiritually, at some point, you're dead. Oh, it just doesn't affect my heart like it used to. I'm just not feeling anything. No, what's happening is you need revitalized. Well, don't say that to me. That hurts my feelings. I don't like how that makes me feel. I don't remember asking. Solomon said, above all else. He didn't say, if you get around to it. He didn't say, it would be nice if you could guard your heart. He said, above all else, above everything you ever do, above making money, above paying bills, above everything else, guard your heart. Not second, not if today you can fit in your schedule. He said, above all else, guard your heart. Protect your heart. Because your heart is the source. It is the wellspring of everything that you do. If your heart is unhealthy, your relationships are unhealthy. If your heart is out of rhythm, now all of a sudden your relationships are out of rhythm. Man, something's just not connecting. Something's not just jiving in my life. Something's going wrong. Why? Because your heart is out of rhythm. Your heart is constantly under attack. You are living in a zone, a war zone, where there are casualties, where people are being affected spiritually. They are being affected. There is a reality of this war where hearts are being affected spiritually. It is constantly under attack. Because the enemy knows that your heart is the source of everything that you can do. And he also knows that we throw around heart and love so loosely. And tied to the heart is emotions and feelings and all of these other things that are right. They're real, you guys. But sometimes you have to avoid those things. You can't go by your feelings. I don't feel a lot of things. Doesn't mean they're right. And we've confused it. The enemy will use these weapons to attack your heart. And he knows how to attack you. Some of you, it's circumstances. Man, something happens in your life. It's like the worst thing in the world has happened. And I'm not downplaying what has happened to you, but you dramatize it. I mean, something happens to you, you freak out. The enemy knows that. He knows that, man, if I just get her schedule off just a little bit, watch how she freaks out. That's funny, but it's scary funny. You know what I mean? It's like, that's true. Some of you, it's like, have joy in all circumstances. You're like, I can't have joy in all circumstances. I freak out in circumstances. And our heart feels a lot of things. Our heart feels broken. It feels hurt. We feel pain. All of that is with our heart. We feel joy. All of that happens within our heart, so we have to understand it. Okay? It's under attack, and the enemy knows how to get your heart. He knows the right buttons to push. He knows what affects you. That's why if we're not guarding it and we're exposing it, he's going, oh, this will be easy. Yeah? How are we guarding our hearts? Because it's valuable, because it's the source, and because it's constantly under attack. Jesus said this in Matthew 11. I'm almost done. He asked a couple questions. This is the message version. He says, are you tired? We can stop there, right? Some of you are like, yep. Are you worn out? That's the second question. Burned out on religion? Come to me. He says, get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. You know what the enemy does? The enemy takes rest and he makes us think we're lazy. You need to rest. There needs to be times where you tell the most important people in your life no. That means your kids. I know it's hard, especially if you got those stubborn ones. It's really hard because you got to tell them no like 5 times. What? You don't think I got those? I got those. No. But what if... No. And usually I have a choice. Do you keep saying no? Or do you finally give in because it's easier to say yes? Say no. Keep saying no. And rest. Take moments for yourself where you get away and you rest. This is what Jesus is saying. Listen, your heart is not being guarded or protected because you're not giving your heart the rest that it needs. And it's not rest like I get to sit around and watch Netflix all day. He's not talking about that. He says, get away with me. Have time with me where you're just resting, where you throw your phone away. Go to a place that has no service if that's you. Like, I can't throw my phone away. Go camping. I can give you some spots where there's no service. Yeah? He says, I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, are you tired? Are you worn out? Is life crazy? Listen, if life is crazy, then your heart is in a position where it's probably going to be attacked. Because when your life is crazy, you and I tend to take things off. But our problem is we're saying no to the right things when we should be saying no to the wrong things. And then there's times where you got to say no to good things. You just have to. I'm sure spending time with your kids is good things, but there's time where you have to get away. And don't let your spouse feel guilty about it. Get away. You're worn out. You're worn out. And this is what Jesus is saying. Walk with him. Work with him. Watch how he does it. This is the model for being a follower of Christ. Walk with him. Work with him. Watch how he does it. This is what he's saying in Matthew 11. He's saying, come on, walk with me. Work with me. Watch. Watch. Watch how I do this. You have to take time for yourself, and the enemy's going to attack that. The enemy's going to say, you're selfish right now. The enemy's going to say, there's other things you should be doing. Oh, God, why do I feel guilty about taking time for myself? Because the enemy's pushing, pushing, and you're feeling it. You're feeling it. You know, if you put on a chest protector of some kind, let's just say, for illustration's sake, it's a, you know, Brent's wanting to shoot a gun at me and I have on the best protection. Hopefully hits it in this chest area. And he hits me, it's still going to bruise a little bit. I'm going to feel it a little bit. You're going to get hit a little bit. You're going to feel it a little bit. Let me tell you this, and this will blow kind of your theological minds. God will allow you to feel it a little bit. Like, well, that's mean. God's not about just your feelings. He's about changing your heart. And so if you're going through something that seems a little hard, first and foremost, God wants you to understand and know that it's about changing your heart. Changing who you are, and things are going to happen in your life that are unfair, that aren't right, that seem like God is against you, but he's not against you. You have to remember that he's for you, and you might have to walk through a season of your life that is very difficult, but God is about becoming. There will always be moments in your life where you go, this is not fair. And if I look to the left and I look to the right, you're going to find either one. There's going to always be someone in front of you that is even worse. And there's always going to be someone behind you that seems like they're always winning. Like, gosh, can they have some of this? There's always going to be that. And if you're looking to the left and right and you're not keeping your path straight like Matthew 11 was saying, foot forward. See, we've taken this understanding of carrying our cross, and it's important, but we've laid that down with the fact of guarding our hearts. Guys, we've not made this an above else moment. Carrying our cross is very important. We got to deny ourselves and carry a cross, but you also have to be the person that puts on the breastplate of righteousness and lives a life that is free and holy, but also is very protective in guarding your heart. For it is the spring that is coming forth in your life. So then those are the questions I would ask you. Like, how are we guarding our hearts? See, there's a word that I would use when it comes to guarding our hearts. And this is, again, a deeper conversation that we have to continue to have. But that word is the word boundary. You have a property line. Maybe you live in a house where you have a property line. It would be wrong for your neighbor to look into your property and say, hey, you need to change your landscaping. Now, he could give you his opinion of your landscaping, but him making you change your landscaping isn't really his call. There's responsibility inside your boundaries. There's responsibility inside your soul. There's responsibility that your heart has, and you have to maintain that responsibility. Nobody else can maintain that property line, that boundary, more than you. And it'd be real easy to start saying, well, I need you to do this, and I need you to do this, and I need you to fill this, and I need you to fill this. That's not their job. Your job is to take responsibility on your heart. Well, you don't understand what so-and-so did to my heart. You don't understand what they said about me. No, I do not understand, nor for this illustration do I care. You are not responsible for what they said to you. You are responsible for how you respond to it. You are responsible for cutting your own property. You cut your grass. You water your grass. You maintain your grass. You maintain your soul. You maintain your heart. You cut away the things that when you're in relationship with God, He is going to say things to you that you need to change about your life. That is called conviction. That is called God correcting you. And it is a valuable aspect of your life and walking with Christ. It has to happen. Valuable. If you're the person that says, I don't want that to happen, then I'm just letting you know we're going to have problems. We're going to have problems. And nobody's ever probably told you that before. But you're going to have problems. When you leave your heart unprotected, there's going to be problems. When you set no boundaries, there's going to be problems. Well, it's okay right now. We crossed the boundaries. It's all right. I got away with it. No, you didn't. You let the devil get a foothold into the door of your heart, and now there's a foothold there, and now you don't understand why a year later you're addicted to something that you should have never been addicted to. And now it doesn't just affect you. It affects your marriage. Well, it's just going to be, you know, it's my boundary. Nobody's really affected by it. Yeah, you are. Your kids are affected. Your family's affected. All affected. Why? Because you are not guarding your heart. I don't say this as coming down on you. I say it because your heart is valuable and it's the source of everything that's happening. And God wants us to protect this area. Like I'm dying spiritually. I'm like, yeah, you're exposed. You are exposed right now. You put on the belt of truth, but you've left off the armor. You've left off the helmet. The enemy's trying headshots at you. I don't understand. I know the truth. You know how many people say, man, I mean, I believe in God. 90% of America believes in God. I mean, yeah, I mean, I believe there's something greater, you know. What is that? That is, I believe with my mind, my heart hasn't caught up yet. Because when your heart catches up, now all of a sudden you see transformation. Again, you and I like to think things through. And God says, starts here. Out of the mind flows the wellsprings of life. No, out of the heart flows that. Last scripture in case, why don't you come up. Hebrews 12, and I won't read it all to you. I encourage you to do this later. But it talks about our relationship with Christ, where the Lord's discipline is very vital to a relationship with Christ. And he puts this analogy in a way of earthly. As a parent, if you let your kids, no matter their age, just kind of do whatever, there's a good chance things will not go well. From cavities to, cavities to maybe obesity to laziness to let them make decisions that they want. I mean, you just let them free, like, hey, you're six, you're good. Do it, you know. They're never taking baths. You know, they're outside in the sprinkler, that's good enough, you know. I mean, things like that. And we understand that. Parents, we understand that. And he says, like, why do you think I'm any different? I says, I'm no different. There's things that I demand of you as your father, and if I don't demand them, then I'm treating you like an illegitimate child. That's what he says. He says the word illegitimate. She doesn't know any better. And none of us want that. Maybe the six-year-old does, but she doesn't know any better. So it is with you and I. That God starts correcting us and we go, I just didn't know any better. And we try to just choose and do whatever we want. God, I'm going to just eat and do whatever I want. And there's no consequences. God goes, yeah, there is. Your heart is affected. And now you're heading down paths that that are not beneficial. They're not healthy. And you have unhealthy relationships. And you're going, God, why am I constantly in unhealthy relationships? Because your heart's not right. You're not protecting your heart. You're letting anything and everything in. And you're wanting to know why God hates you. He doesn't hate you. He's trying to correct and discipline you, but you see his discipline as hatred, and his discipline is love. Hey, listen, if you see discipline as hate, we're always going to miss the mark then. I'm always going to take this breastplate off and put it down and go, I'm here. Well, I just wear my heart on my sleeves. Say whatever I want. Do whatever I want. Live how I want. God says, man, you're asking for a lot of trouble, and it's not because if I didn't love you, I'd just say, all right, go ahead. In Hebrews 12, he's saying, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. God's saying, I don't enjoy spanking you. You know that old analogy, this is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. Mom, you're a liar. If that's the case, turn around. It's not enjoyable while it's happening, but he says it's necessary. It's necessary for what? For changing how you are. It's painful, but afterward there will be peaceful harvest of right living for those who have been trained this way. See, listen, when I get away and I allow God to do things in my heart and me to rest the right way and say no to other things, and they're good things, and you're like, God, I wish I wouldn't have said no to that, but here I am. And he says, good, now I got you away. Let me start saying certain things to you. And I go, God, I'm convicted by that. God, I don't know that I like that. God, this is painful. He's saying, but if you change this, if you allow me to train you in this way, watch what it does. Listen. Some of you in this room, you're like, but God, I've been praying that this would happen, this would happen. He says, be faithful in getting away and allowing God to pour into your heart. Let God be your heart. Let God be the one that is stirring your heart up. He's going to bring the right guy. He's going to bring, you want God's guy anyway, right? You don't want just some guy who's going to say whatever he's going to say. You want God's guy anyway. So he says, when you're after my heart, then I can get your heart. And then now all of a sudden I can bring along the right guy for you. Why? Because you've said no to things and you've said yes to Jesus. And now out of your heart is flowing this time with God. You know what else it does? It protects you from going after the wrong guy. I'm sorry if you're single in this room. You're like, why are you singling me out? Because somebody needs to hear this. When you're in a right relationship with God, now you don't give in to filling a void from some other guy that you should have never, because you're in a right relationship with God. Now you're saying no to those tools that just want certain things. Why? Because you're in a relationship with Christ. Listen, this starts too young. Too young. Too young. That the enemy is trying to capture the hearts of teenagers too young. Too young. If we can get this, listen. In a generation that is satisfied in Christ and Christ alone. That's a good concept. That's great. No, what would really happen? What would happen, you guys, if a generation rose up and said, no, 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 I'm not going to allow that into my heart. I think it's real easy to sit back and go, well, this world's just going to pop. This world's just going to this. Now, what would happen if we rose up and said, no, I'm going to fight for the next generation? What does fighting for the next generation look like? Because here's what you're going to get from the next generation. You ready? Attitude. You're dumb, Mom. Dad, you're dumb. Eye roll. Smart aleck comments about how you're the strictest mom and dad in the world. No discipline. feels good when it's happening. You do it anyway. Why? Because we want to fight for the next generation. And what's penetrating their hearts right now, we have to fight for, you guys. We have to fight for. Will you stand with me today? I recognize that what I'm about to ask you to do may make you feel uncomfortable, but here's what I'm asking you to do, if you would. Just lift your hands like this, okay? This is not, I think there's a positioning that happens in my life when I do this. First and foremost, I'm surrendering. And physically on the outside, I'm surrendering. But my prayer is, God, I'm surrendering my heart to you. And I'm going to pray this prayer. And you just pray it with me if you agree with it. Because I can't ask you to repeat something that you don't believe. Because then it's just words. Like, you gotta believe it if you want. So I'm going to pray this prayer. You just pray if you're there. God, I give you my heart, and God, I'm determined to be a person that guards my heart by setting boundaries, by putting on the breastplate of righteousness and saying, God, I'm going to live a life of righteousness. And God, I know it starts with getting away with you. It doesn't start with coming to church. It starts with saying yes to you. And so God, today, I'm determined to give you my heart. God, I ask you to change me, to transform me. God, that my heart is yours. And God, I'm determined today to seek you and you alone. God, I ask for your strength in my surrender, that the strategies of the enemy for my heart, that you are greater, that you are stronger. God, here I am. Here I am. Here's my heart. And guys, just in this moment, here's what I'm asking you to do. This is, I get it. We're emotional beings, and this is difficult for some of us, maybe. I'm asking you at some point in the next hour, putting 60 minutes on it, whether it's your spouse, whether you grab one of your kids, you're just saying, hey, I'm asking God to change my heart. And that may sound cheesy. That may sound weird. But I think what you do when you say that to somebody else, what you're saying to that other person is, I'm vulnerable for allowing God to change my heart. And I'm doing this thing. But here's the most important thing that you do when you say that to somebody else. You are giving them access to call out and to be also a protector of your heart, which is so important. Would you help me guard my heart? For it is the wellspring of my life. Amen.